Our subject for today is the giant slayer. And I'm sure when I say the words giant slayer, that connotates a few images in your mind. When I thought about the Pathfinder Investiture Service, I was thinking about the little ones specifically, but also the older ones, and also the adults, and how that relates to us as we witness for Jesus, as we walk with Jesus. So the giant slayer. For thousands of years, the story of David and Goliath has fascinated children and adults alike. This story is a very familiar story to all of us, and we read about it, we talk about it, and we sing about it. You remember that little song, "Only a Boy Named David"? Only a little sling. Today, we are going to see the lessons that David teaches us of overcoming great odds, or giants in our lives, and how God can use us as youth and as adults, young and old, to do great and mighty things for Him. Now, each one of us are faced with all kinds of giants in our congregation today and our friends watching online. And I forgot to mention about those who are watching online on our YouTube channel. It's a blessing that you can be with us, and welcome to our service today. Maybe it is disease. What giants do you face? Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's depression, abuse, rejection. Maybe it's broken relationships, temptations, fears, past failures. Perhaps it's anger or discouragement. Now, I know all of us here can attest to that one. Someone here or everyone here has been discouraged at some point in their life. Your giant may not be Goliath, but there are giants we have to face each and every day. Now, problems and concerns can feel like giants. Health problems, financial problems, marital problems can feel like giants, can't they? Employment problems, children problems, and problems with and in the government can look like giants as well. They are called by different names: Visa, Discover, MasterCard, mortgages. Names like cancer, aging, baldness, death. And my family has faced a number of deaths over the last 6 months. Dishonesty, unforgiveness, unlovingness. What giants or giants are you facing today? Do you hear your giants shouting in your ear? Is it overwhelming? The same thing happened to the children of Israel, God's people, and the Philistines who were their enemies at war. Every morning for over 40 days, Goliath shouted to the children of Israel. Let's pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if you have your Bibles there, I encourage you to turn there. 1 Samuel 17. And we'll be pretty much sticking close to these scripture references here. So 1 Samuel 17, I have a brand new Bible here, so the pages are still sticking together. 1 Samuel 17, and I'll be reading from verses 8 to 10. So verse 8 says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And I'm going to continue reading verse 10, actually. And 10 says, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now, Goliath's voice certainly didn't sound like my voice. Goliath's voice conjugated up fear in the minds of God's people, the children of Israel. They actually trembled in fear. Goliath was a huge giant. The Bible records his height at about 9.5 feet tall. Now that's tall. 9.5 feet tall. I remember there was a young man in the St. John's Church. His name was Tabo. And I'm not sure how tall he was, but I had to look up to him like this. He must be close to 7 feet. And this Goliath was not over 9 feet tall. And not a skinny man either. He wore a helmet of brass and was armed with a coat of mail, weighing at least 90 pounds. That's like carrying around two sacks of potatoes on you all the time. The head of his spear was made of iron and weighed at least 11 pounds. Walking around him was a shield bearer. He had his own shield bearer. This huge giant was well protected, and apparently Israel did not have a man who was willing to fight this giant. Would you? Would I? That's an interesting question we can pose to ourselves, isn't it? Just the look of this man paralyzed the children of Israel. Goliath knew it, and because of this, it made him bolder to shout at the children of Israel. Now, on this particular day, Goliath, this giant, stepped forward when he saw little David standing in front of him. So we have a 9.5 foot immense man, and we have little tiny boy David. He shouted his usual defiance, Goliath did, and David heard it. Now when the Israelites saw the man, they all did what? They ran. They ran from him. And when life seems hopeless, when it seems that there is no way out, God is able to make a way out of no way at all. For 40 days, Goliath called for a challenger. For 40 days, he taunted God's people. God's people were afraid. Then the most unlikely thing happened, and we know the story. A boy named David showed up. David was no soldier at that time. He was just a boy. He had no helmet. He was just a boy. Maybe about Aaron's size. Just a boy. He had no helmet. He had no spear. But this boy was not afraid to take up the challenge. Now let's pick up the story in verses 42 of 1 Samuel 17. Verses 42 to 45. And when the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went with him, and when Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, interesting, this is an interesting response to that. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Thou hast defied. David did what he was supposed to do. The army was not doing what they were supposed to do. Now, there's a great allegory here in relation to church as well. But my first thought is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. David came to the king and said to him in verse 32 of our text, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. a boy, probably the size of Aaron. We have to put things into perspective when we're reading Bible stories. He was saying to King Saul, don't worry about a single thing. I will take care of that Philistine in the mighty name of the Lord. When we are faced with our giants, you and I want to hear some good news, don't we? When you have struggles in your life, don't you want to hear some good news? Amen? I know I do. Saul was hearing some good news here, and the people were afraid still. But it seems the good news was coming from the wrong source. It is to the Israelite people, David saying these powerful words, was that good news to them? No. They laughed, actually. They said, I'm going to put David on your name, or your name on David, okay? Aaron? Really? Aaron's going to defeat this 9-foot massive man, Goliath? I mean, really? You could, couldn't you? In the name of the Lord, right? Just put it in perspective. So it wasn't good news to the children of God at the time. It's coming from just a little boy. Now, Aaron, you're not a little boy. You're growing up, I know that. Who was not trained in warfare. David was about to do something extraordinary. But even his brother Eliab tried to stop him. You can read about it in verse 28. When you are about to do something for the Lord, something that might seem impossible to man, don't let anyone stop you. Young people, don't let anyone stop you if you are about to do something mighty in the Lord. You know, don't let anyone stop you from doing the right thing for Jesus, because that can happen. In life, as you face your giants, some people will laugh at you. Some people will laugh at you. And, of course, we know the phrase, and it's a real phrase in today's society, peer pressure. How many here in their life, young and old, have faced peer pressure? Everyone has, to some degree or another. And we are usually wanting, I'll use a big word here now, vacillate and fall into that trap. And do something that other people want us to do so we won't look weird or odd, right? So peer pressure. Some people will laugh at you. They will talk about you, but don't let that stop you. They will talk about you, and you know, that can happen in families. It can happen at work. It can happen at school. And it can even happen in the church. Right? Many times you will be let down by people you know so well. In our story, David was fighting his own older brother who was looking down upon him. Now, in those days, and probably should be today too, but in those days, if you had an older brother, that older brother was your mentor, your mentor. You looked up to him. And he was supposed to have your best interests at heart. That doesn't always happen today either, does it? David thought, yes, you are my big brother, but there is a giant to face. He might have thought that there is a battle to be won, and he will not allow anything to stand in his way. When the Lord is on your side, you don't have to be afraid, and you will be able to face a giant and actually destroy and defeat the giant. Remember, as a Christian youth, the Lord will always fight for you. Always. He will always fight for you. You need just to allow Him to fight the battle for you. Amen? Choose today whom you will serve, and He won't ever let you down. Please note very carefully, one of the first things we must do if we are to slay the giants in our life is to overcome discouragement. Now, we can all be discouraged, and we can all have a time where we are despondent. And we find ourselves in a very dark place because things are very bad. Things are very bad in our lives. Do we defeat discouragements on our own? No. Even that we don't defeat on our own, do we? It's only through the power of the indwelling Christ that we can get through that discouragement. And sometimes that's through other people, right? Could be family members, could be church family members, could be someone God sends that we never expected to lift us out of that discouragement. There will be people close to you, people whom you trust, who will try to convince you at times that you cannot beat the odds. Here's a warning to everyone. Be careful as to who you are receiving your advice from. Right? Can I say that again? There are people who will tell you things that will give you advice that's not the right source. Their heart may be in the right place, but they could be drastically wrong. There are people who will tell you cannot beat the system. So just as well, if you can't beat them, join them. How often have you heard that? You can't beat them, just join them. Is that our mission as a church? No. They will tell you that the giant is too great and you are too small. But I am so glad that with God, all things are possible. God can take those impossible things and make them possible. People might have told you, and maybe are still telling you, that you will not amount to anything. But I can hear Paul saying in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's probably the most encouraging verse in the Bible to me. I can do all things through Christ. It's not difficult, is it? Being too young is often reason enough not to grant youth to do certain things. That's real. They should not be expected to discharge adult duties while inexperienced or immature. But that's what our role is, to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord so they can discharge those duties in the Lord. For that's what the Lord would want. But was David without preparation for this encounter, the boy named David? Our ability to meet the foes of life depends on how well prepared we are as well. Battles are lost or won in the preparation stage. Any general in any army, in any war, will tell you that's the truth. It's in the preparation that battles are won or lost. And strategies are the result, whether that battle is won or lost. For David, it was character first developed before he faced Goliath. Now, there's a comment from Ellen White I'd like to share regarding David's preparation before he encountered Goliath. His experience in these matters proved the heart of David and developed in him courage and fortitude, and the last word is the most important word, faith. Faith. With control of mind and temper, having self-confidence with courage, and above all else, faith in God that undergirds it all, no Goliath will make us panic and become fearful, confused, and discouraged, like most of Israel did when challenged with what they thought was an impenetrable wall, the giant. What's another illustration in the Bible where the children of Israel failed? I can think of one, and it's a very well-known one. It's the one where the Israelites were released from bondage from Egypt. And they were wandering in the desert, not wandering, they were sojourning through the desert because God was leading them by night and day. And the promise was, there was a promised land being prepared for you. And when they reached the promised land, what happened? They sent out spies to search the land and see and come back with a report before they went in to that land. And without fail, all of them said, "No, there's no way that we can enter that land. We're not prepared. You know, we're just not prepared." How many said, "Let's go and take that land"? How many? Two. And who were they? Joshua and Caleb. But did they go into the promised land? They suffered and wandered for 40 years in the desert because of that. Because they did not see and they did not have the faith to go and take the land. And it's no different here. It's no different here. Even when we have made what seem to be inadequate weapons and are without the armor of human construction, we will be able to fight our giants and slay them, all in the power of the name of Jesus. And Ellen White reminds us here as well, even before he was summoned to the court of Saul, David had distinguished himself by deeds of valor. The officer who brought him to the notice of the king declared him to be a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and he said, "The Lord is with him." The Lord is with him. David was susceptible to the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord in his providence trained him for his service, preparing him to carry out his purpose. Christ was the master builder of his character. Christ. God chose and prepared David for his work. He chose him as a little boy, and he chose him when he became king. Was David perfect? Far from it. We know all the stories about David's sins. He fell, didn't he? And he fell in a very drastic way. He actually had a man killed to hide a sin. But yet, we're told that David is a man after God's own heart. It means that even if you fall, even if you fall into temptation, it doesn't mean God has left you. It means God loves you, and he wants you to repent and turn back to him. And he will give you a new life. He will give you a new chance. He will give you new hope. He will see you through. It's a good thing. How many here have been criticized? Let's be honest. One brave soul raised their hand. Two, okay. Three, okay. I can raise two. If I had more hands, I'd raise them. Because I have been criticized. Everyone here has been criticized. Have you guys ever been criticized for something? I'm sure you have. Criticized means that they either make fun of you, or they say nasty things about you, or they say, you're not good enough for this. That kind of thing. Anyone here ever been criticized? Yep, even little ones are shaking their head. Yep. Sometimes criticism can come out of the mouth of babes, right? We know that. Criticism hurts when it comes from someone over us. In this case, in our Bible story, Eliab, his older brother, over David. Criticism hurts when it questions our motives. Criticism hurts when it is continual. Can you imagine facing continual criticism? Where would that place you? Criticism hurts when it comes from people we have known for a long period of time in our lives. You will hear critics pointing out your faults and failures. You are just a young person. You come at me with sticks? I will feed you to the birds and the beasts. Young people, learn a lesson from David. Middle-aged people, I guess I'm middle-aged, I don't know. Learn a lesson from David. Beyond. See, the truth, right? I get the truth. Good. But it's not criticism, though. I appreciate you, Bruce. Elderly. Learn from Davis. There are people who are overwhelmed when confronted by giants. Overwhelmed by giants who have reputation. Overwhelmed when they continually show up. Overwhelmed when others on our side are afraid. Overwhelmed and never deal with the giants. David was not overwhelmed, and he was a little boy. He had passion for God. Not just for God, but for God's name. He had passion for God's name to be honored above all else. David was so angry at the way God was being dishonored. This here was a true case of righteous indignation. Ellen White says here that David was fired with zeal to preserve the honor of the living God and the credit of his people. It wasn't just God, but his people. Those people who were running away. God's people who were running away, who were fearful, who were trembling in fear. David wanted to honor them as well. David had confidence in God. He could not let Goliath the giant dishonor God. David did not try to be like Saul. In other words, giant slayers do not try to be something or something they are not. Don't pretend to be something you're not. During a crisis, people will try to make you act and think just like them. Remember, heavy armor will weigh you down. You will never be able to defeat giants in your life with fleshly weapons. As young people, the main thing that God expects for you is to trust in Him and use what He has given you to defeat giants. So what has He given us? He has given us faith. And what are we to do with that faith? Exercise that faith. And when you exercise that faith, what does He give you then? More faith. And then you exercise that faith, then what does He give you? More faith. And when you have more and more and more and more faith, you are filled with the Spirit of God, and you can all do mighty things for Him. For young people. For middle-aged people. For old people. Right? Faith. And what's that song we sing? Faith is the victory that does what? Overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. For everyone here today, what if you had listened to the negative things people said about you over the years? What would you be like if you listened to all those negative things and believed all those negative things that people were saying about you? Where would you be? You'd be despondent, wouldn't you? You'd be negative. Let's read verses 34 to 36 in our Bible text today. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him." And verse 36 says, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine," talking about Goliath, "shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God." Amen? King Saul, I slew a lion and I slew a bear, and I am now ready to face this giant Goliath. Aaron, you can slay a bear and a lion, and you can slay Goliath. But there's only one requirement. You have to be living according to God, right? And it goes the same for each and every single one here. All of you, we can be just as David. King Saul, I have a testimony of how God delivered me from the lion and the bear, and this God who delivered me back then will deliver me now from this giant. King Saul, I am not discouraged. King Saul, this giant has taunted God's people. King Saul, this giant has defied the armies of the living God. And King Saul, it is now time to fight. Now, as Christians, we don't usually use that word fight because it connotates something that's worldly. Fighting in the world is not the same as fighting for God. Amen? It's not the same at all. Fighting for the Lord has a totally different purpose. Totally different purpose. There comes a time in each one of our lives when we have to face the giant and tell that giant, enough is enough. And guess what? Every single one of us here are going to face that at some point. We really are. We're going to face it. And how we handle it will demonstrate our walk with God. Amen? It really will. There comes a time in our lives when we will have to stand up for the truth as it is in Jesus. There comes a time in our lives when we have to face that giant and tell that giant it's reckoning time. It's reckoning time, giants. It's no more time for baby talk. It's no more time for small talk. It's now time to turn the tide, but only the Lord's terms and for His honor and not our own. David's heart was not in the least intimidated, for he knew in whom was his trust. Listen to these words from David, taken from 1 Samuel 17 and reading from verses 45 to 47. 45 to 47. 45 says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now, folks, that's fighting words. Fighting words for the Lord, amen? Amen. Doesn't that thrill your heart? It's powerful. It really is. Young people, don't be discouraged. Middle-aged people, don't be discouraged. Elderly, don't be discouraged. But let us all face the giants and slay them. People of God, there might be those who are failing. But let's face the giants and slay it. There might be those who are giving up, but let's face the giants. That's not the end. There is something more. For all of us, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. And the final victory is whose? It's ours, right? It's ours. After Saul had listened to David telling his story of how he killed the lion and how David killed the bear, after he had listened of God's protective care over David, Saul was convinced of what God would do. And so in the latter part of verse 37, Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." So this was a king Saul saying to this little boy, "Go, and be with thee." We all know how the story ended. We know what happened to Goliath, and we know what happened to the giant who was taunting the people of God. Verse 49 says this, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and swung it and smote the Philistine," where? Right there, right in his forehead. Why was it his forehead? Obviously, it would kill him, but why else was it his forehead? What was Goliath using his forehead for? To taunt the people of God, his brain. And God knew right where to strike that blasphemous giant. And he fell upon his face to the earth. That doesn't mean he was asleep. He was dead. That came after. That came after. That's a bit of the gory part of the story, but yes, his head was chopped off, but was for good reason. Because Goliath was using his head to taunt and bring fear into the people of God. And so his head was paraded back to the king. Where'd they put it? I think they put it on a stake. I don't know where they put it. Does anyone know where they put his head? That's not the important part of the story, though. Maybe someone else knows. What? What's that? Maybe. Is that right? In a donkey cart. Okay. Wherever his head was, he was dead. And he wasn't going to bring fear into the people of God anymore. So in conclusion, I'd like to read you a very important verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Very simple. It's sublime, actually. When Goliath taunted, threatened, and drove fear into the people of God, David did not run away in fear. David did not waver. Instead, he ran right into the battle, right into the midst of that fire. He took action. So as we close, what giants are you facing right now? Now, I ask that question because I ask that of myself. What giants have I faced or am facing right now? And there have been a few. There are giants that we battle that are designed to bring us closer to God. Did you know that? There are some giants that will bring us closer to God. However, we can't go into battle to build up an impressive record of wins over giants. Amen? That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Or go thinking that we'll fight the battle under our own strength. David knew God's will for Israel because Moses had spelled it out clearly. They were to possess the land of Canaan and their enemies would not be able to stand against them. Very clear. Leviticus chapter 26, I'll just read it for the sake of time, but Leviticus chapter 26, verses 7 and 8. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Verse 8, and five of you shall chase 100. So five little boys or five little girls will chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword of the living God. But all this was dependent on Israel keeping God's commandments, including the Sabbath and reverencing his sanctuary. Leviticus goes on to say Leviticus 26, verses 2 and 3, says this, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. This is his sanctuary here today. I am the Lord. 3, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. This was God's word, his solemn promise. His promise that cannot fail, because this word here is truth. Truth in a dark world. This word is the light that will bring salvation to men, women, and children. This is how we fight, in the Word of God, following its precepts in the power of Christ. And I'll close with this promise. It stands forever and ever, this promise. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Actually, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. And I think we're very familiar with this verse. If I get my pages to turn. Okay, Isaiah 40, verse 8 says this. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And that's how we fight the Goliaths in our lives. So today we have caught a glimpse of the dedication of the Pathfinder and Adventure leaders. Just that short video of 6 or 7 minutes long told me a lot about the dedication of our leaders. It told me also a lot about our young people. Our younger people and our little bit older people. It told me that this church has a mission. And it is fulfilling that mission through our young people. And it will continue to fill that mission to these young people. So that these young people can grow up and one day accept Jesus as their personal Savior and walk through in the commandments of the living God and dedicate their lives to Him in service. That's really what Adventurers and Pathfinders is all about. It's not just a club. When I was growing up, and I think we still do, we had cubs, boy cubs for boys, and brownies for girls, and a little bit older, it was scouts for boys, and guides for girls. All good clubs. They're good clubs. You do good things. But this club, Adventure Club and Pathfinder Club, it's a totally different purpose. There is a major difference between these two those clubs and our clubs. To raise our children up in the admonition of the Lord. Parents, yes, we are to raise our children up in the admonition of the Lord for sure. The church has a responsibility. And I am so happy that this church has accepted that call. I really am. Because who knows, as we sit here today, and you look at the young people, and you say to yourself, I wonder where they'll be in 5 years' time. I wonder what they'll be doing in 10 years' time. I'm wondering if they will follow the Lord. We ultimately don't know that answer. But the purpose of these groups is to enhance that opportunity that they will serve Christ. Amen. So let me close with this. We have witnessed the hard work and dedication of the leaders. We have witnessed the hard work and dedication of our young people. Listen to the Pathfinder law. I said to Jennifer, we'll cut out the law and the pledge because there's not enough time. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But I have added it here for a very specific reason. For those of you who don't know the Pathfinder law, please repeat after me. So Pathfinders, please repeat after me. The law is for me to... Amen. And how about the adventurer law? Adventurers, can I put you on the spot? Jesus can help me to be obedient. You know, somebody will say it. Be obedient. Be pure. Be true. Be kind. Be respectful. Be attentive. Be helpful. Be cheerful. Be thoughtful. And be reverent. That's right. Let me ask you, were these words, these laws written in David's heart? They certainly were. They certainly were. Indeed they were. And because they were written in his heart and mind by God, he was able to defeat the enemy of God's people. And young people, you can do the same thing. Today, God is calling his young people. He is calling his leaders. He is calling his people to stand up to the giants and be counted. He is calling all of us to be true to Him, to Jesus in our lives, and faithful to Him as we battle temptations and as we battle trials in our lives. David said that the battle belongs to who? The Lord. That hasn't changed. Why did he say that? Because God was being defied. God was being defied. Is God being defied in our world today? Oh, yes. Big time. Have you given your battles to the Lord? Are you still fighting your giants on your own? Folks, let us all surrender our battles and give it to the Lord. Because you know something? In closing and final thought, the victory is yours. It's yours. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious words that will indeed give us insight, give us wisdom, give us instruction in righteousness, that we can be as David and rely 100% and wholly upon you. For Father, you know our very thoughts. You know our very actions. And Father, as a congregation, we ask that you will come in and be with us as we take those steps that we can defeat the giants in our lives and praise your holy name that you have given us and granted us the victory. Give us that zeal for Jesus that perhaps we have not had in a very long time. And for those who are struggling with those giants in their lives, we ask for a special indwelling of the Holy Spirit, an extra measure of faith, that we can stand up and vanquish those giants in the risen name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in your holy name. Amen.